Coming up on All About Android, Adam Dowd joins us. We talk about Android 11 Developer Preview 3 that is out, the grand exit of John Legere from T-Mobile. Flo gives us a little bit of a first look of the Oppo Find X2. The new Pixel Buds, the true wireless ones, are out now, and some reviews are out there. We talk about that. Google Meet has Zoom Envy, your email, and more next on All About Android. All About Android is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by IT Pro TV. Use IT Pro TV for 100% remote conferencing and training. Go to itpro.tv/twit2 to start setting up your next conference today. And by Mint Mobile. They provide the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month with their three-month introductory plan and get the plan shipped to your door for free at mintmobile.com/android. And by LegalZoom. Take an important step for your family today. Go to LegalZoom.com and get started on a last will, living trust, and more. Or find out how you can speak to an attorney for advice on the right estate plan. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 470, recorded on Tuesday, April 28th, 2020, your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
And we are All About Android. Dun, 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 dun. We fly in. I'm thinking.
I thought you were going to say we're Captain Android, like Captain Planet, you know, after everybody says their element.
Or Captain and Tennille. I get to be Tennille.
What? Oh, man, I wanted to be Tennille. Joining us, returning to the show, is none other than Adam Dowd. How are you doing, Adam?
I am doing well. Thank you very much for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's good to see you. Actually, we saw you not very long ago.
I was going to say.
Your neck of the woods, because you launched a new show that everybody should know about.
Not in person, by the way. The virtual neck of the woods.
Yes, right. Exactly. As close as we are allowed to be. So.
So tell us about your show.
So I about 6 minutes after I was on this podcast last time, I launched my own podcast called The Benefit of the Dowd. That is all about it's basically technology news, interviews, and reviews. I call it all the ewes of tech podcasting. So I do device reviews. I just did the LG V60 review, but I also do interviews. And I sat down with two-thirds of you, Ron. I still got to grab you one of these days, but
I know I was so bummed I missed it. My apologies again. I was bummed.
I have some ideas for you, so don't worry.
I know. Yeah, I owe you an email.
So I sat down with Jason and Flo, and we talked about the state of Android in 2020, and boy, did we have a good conversation.
Yeah, it was a fantastic conversation. You can't get this podcast yet, though. Google I.O. was set to be 2 weeks from now. And I think this podcast episode that we were on, that Flo and I were on, is scheduled to release that week. Is that right?
That is correct. It will be launching the same week that Google I.O. would have happened. But if you want to get a sneak preview, if you go to my Patreon, which is patreon.com/benefitofadoubt, and sign up for as little as $2 a month, they tell me to say that, then you can have access to the full uncut interview sometime this week. I'm about halfway done editing it, but you'll have access to that and all the other interviews that I've done, all full and uncut, and it's a lot of fun.
Right on. Cool.
Yeah.
Also, you know, sad to think of Google I.O. as the event that won't happen this year. And it's only a few weeks away. Like, I was thinking about that earlier today. I was like, man, in an alternate timeline, I'd actually be thinking about, like, what I'm going to bring with me, what Google might be, you know, handing out at the event, the people I'm going to see. But that's just not going to happen this time around because there is no the Google I.O., not even a digital I.O.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I would have been contemplating, how can I sneak in there? Because I'm not a big enough deal yet to get an official invitation. But
well,
maybe
there's a back gate.
There is a back gate.
Right.
Yeah. You can just say I'm with the band.
Yeah,
and, exactly.
That might work. I don't know. It's probably worked at least once. At
get
the
like a white T-shirt and draw a Google logo with magic marker. Hi.
Listen,
totally.
It worked for Donna in season 5 of 90210 when she snuck into the Rolling Stones concert. So, and that was at a very big venue. So
yeah,
you really are like an encyclopedia for 90210. The details that you
it's a little obsessive, but yeah.
I will say, and not to take away from that, but I will say I am surprised, not to also set Flo off, I am surprised that they didn't try or haven't tried to pull any sort of streaming solution, given that, oh, I don't know, the company owns the largest streaming technology in the world with YouTube.
Seriously.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I do find it real. And we'll get to this maybe later on in the app section. But I do find it really curious that they didn't at least try to do something virtual.
Yeah, I agree, especially with what they usually do at the conference, which is they have the sessions go up immediately afterward, like Ron said, on YouTube. So you'd think they had the infrastructure.
And my, you know, luckily at my day job, we're producing content, like we're producing as much, if not more content than we did when we were back in the office. So like, it's not impossible, you know, and I definitely don't have the resources Google has. Right. So it's just curious. I really would be curious what the decision there was to just be like, nope, we're done. Shut it down. You know, like, given the what the development community gets from it, you know, as a byproduct, you would think that it would be this great, like, oh, despite this, they brought it to us in our home. I don't know. I know we already talked about it, but I'm still just baffled that they didn't try to figure that out.
I have a working theory that Google heard that I was going to have Flo and Jason on that week, and so they just backed up a truck and said, all right, we can't compete with that. We're out.
Well, then never mind. No Google I.O. I didn't realize that was happening. Company-wide, Sundar Pichai sends out an email. Yeah, that's a good theory. I think that probably definitely did not happen. But it's probably close to reality. Yeah. Still sad that we won't be enjoying the sun at Shoreline Amphitheater. But that podcast episode will be there. So if you want to listen to it to fill the void, there you go. Benefit of the Dowd.com. What do you say we get into some news? Burke, I hope you're ready. It's time for the news.
I'm the Android. Jason's the news. Here's Android news.
I was going to say, Victor didn't take me up on my offer to read the news bumper for him.
Yeah. As I was setting up the news throw, I was looking into the doc chat being like, wait a minute, maybe Victor put something in there. But no, we didn't hear from you, Victor. We know you're busy. We know you're doing other things. We still miss you, Victor. But good job, Burke. You said more than I'm not going to say anything. So that was awesome.
True.
We appreciate
true.
It. All right, Flo, you got it.
Back. All right, so we might not have Google I.O. to ring in the next version of the Android developer preview, but Google's giving it to us anyway, probably because we're stuck at home. And those of us with spare phones, why not install the version of developer preview 3 for Android 11? It is here, and our friends at XDA have dug in to all that's changed. So we're going to do a quick little feature walkthrough. So some of the changes include redesign recent app section with larger previews and buttons for screenshot and sharing, an undo gesture which brings back a dismissed app in the recent app section, so you'll be able to effectively swipe down to bring it back before it's completely out of the recent app section. A toggle to automatically revoke permissions when an app hasn't been used for a few months. So it'll automatically do that for you in the background. You don't even have to remember it. Notification shade will hide that static app active in the background alert that's kind of annoying and doesn't go away. It will in Android 11. A new compact screenshot pop-up menu with options to dismiss it, share the screenshot, or edit it immediately. So instead of that overlay from the notification shade, it'll pop up in the corner, kind of like how some of the other OEMs do it in their UI. I know the LG V60 does this. Eventually, there will be a third option to take scrolling screenshots, but that's not yet fully implemented, though there has been some evidence of that. An adjustable back gesture, the back gesture will be adjustable for its sensitivity for the left and right edges, so you don't have to worry about automatically turning that on. Ethernet tethering support so that you can share internet connection with a line in. New onboarding details for using chat bubbles for the first time. So this will effectively work like the Facebook chat bubbles that you might know that show up on the desktop, kind of just peering over, overlaying your UI. A redesigned caption preferences screen, and volume menu will be renamed to sound. So it's a nice new branding there from volume to sound, I guess.
who knew that you could rebrand volume? That's great. That's genius.
It's sound. Now.
I guess it makes sense though. It is less volume controls and more sound controls, maybe. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. There is another little bit of changes.
It always changes back and forth. Next version, they'll go back to volume.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the gestures. Right. There's also another little bit of news that's coming. Google is working on letting you use live captions during phone calls. So you'll basically be able to use the caption feature while you're on a call with somebody. Currently, it's in English only, but I can imagine this is going to be super helpful so that you don't have to constantly ask, "Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said?"
Now it'll be, "Did you read what I said?"
Exactly.
"Did you read what I said when you couldn't hear what I said?"
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be very interested in how Google is going to understand like really muffly garbled conversation, or, you know, conversation brought on by just like choppy cellular service, because this isn't broadband we're talking about here. This is a phone call.
That's true.
Yeah. Although, when you think about it, though, if somehow Google can make it so it records, I guess, air quotes, if it records the audio locally from the phone and then sends that, like, transcribes that to text and then sends that text message or whatever to the receiving phone, and then maybe it could display that as a live. I don't know. I mean, it might be a way to actually clear up calls that are garbled. This is me doing like a, maybe we should inject a disinfectant into people, like live monologue that, you know, probably isn't well thought out. But anyway, it just occurred to me that I felt like I had to say it.
No, I understand what you're saying, Adam. I think it'd be great if AI could basically bridge that gap for us. So maybe live caption will be, I mean, it'll be very helpful from an accessibility standpoint in the beginning, but maybe further on as the AI kind of learns how speech is garbled because of cellular connections, that it can help bridge that gap to make calls clearer. And then we won't have an excuse to say we don't want to talk on the phone anymore. We'll have to just, you know, we have an AI now that can help us have the clearest conversations.
It actually makes sense. Not, and none of this is to say that this feature is coming to Android 11 necessarily, but I love this thought experiment because you kind of already have this in video, right? Like AI is really has become adept at taking a blurry photo and using its smarts to like sharpen it. And of course it's not bringing back pixels that were there that aren't there anymore. It's bringing back pixels based on its best educated guess on what those pixels would be. You can kind of see that happening on audio as well. I wonder if there would be an AI assisted kind of audio quality improvement. At the same time, you know, we've got voice over Wi-Fi or Wi-Fi calling has really cleared up things. So that's improved things. Once you hear a phone call that's through like Wi-Fi calling or those like higher quality voice networks on T-Mobile, you know, that I've definitely used, I'm like, wow, that sounds a lot better than it did. So maybe it's less needed, but certainly would come in handy.
But would the AI be able to remove a fence from the audio? Because I think that's what we all want, right?
No, apparently that will never happen.
That will never happen.
That was a very rough reference. I'm glad you all picked up on it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I complain about it like every other week.
So true.
Where's my fence removal feature?
The fence removal feature, we were promised it at Google I.O., okay? Speaking of Google I.O., that was a promise.
We were shown it. This is why Google I.O. isn't happening this year. They still don't have it ready, and they said, you know what? We're just going to cancel it.
It's like, thank God this
happened.
That's
why it's not going online.
Right? Look, if you don't have the fence feature done by next I.O., it's not happening. I'm serious, Jim. It's not happening. And then, you know, here we are. They're like, they couldn't get it working. So.
It's literally always Jim's fault. Every time, Jim and Google.
Blame Jim.
Poor Jim.
And if not Jim, Rebecca. I mean, seriously, equal opportunity blame to go around here, okay? All right. So that's Android 11 Developer Preview 3. I've covered the last two developer previews on Hands on Android. When I saw this one, I was kind of like, you know, I don't really feel like I need to go into detail on the changes here. So I'm going to hold off. Not like earth-shattering changes happening on the OS, but these early developer previews aren't necessarily meant to be those. Next month is when the official beta builds start, so that'll be the next update. Is going to be the first beta. That'll be the one that maybe you know everyday users might be more inclined to install it on their device, be a little bit more stable. Who knows? Maybe they'll have some new features that are kind of more marquee style that they start to introduce at that point. Google works in mysterious ways, but definitely look forward to that. It'll be way easier to update to that too because the beta program will be rolling. So that would be next month. So got that to look forward to, I suppose. T-Mobile, you may remember, basically just finished its acquisition of Sprint. So you already knew that. Part of the plan of the acquisition involves the closing of Sprint's 5G network. This is where things get a little dicey, especially with the 5G being in and of itself a technology that people still aren't very sold on. Like, we understand, like, it's, you know, obviously everybody in the carrier space believes it's the next big thing for mobile networks. But users are kind of like, well, is that now? Is that later? Does it matter? Do I need the speeds? Whatever. It's complicated, and it's going to get more complicated. Any Sprint 5G phones, aside from the Samsung Galaxy S20 devices, if they supported 5G on the Sprint network, ultimately, they're going to stop working when this transition happens. So if you had one of those Sprint phones, now you are a T-Mobile customer and you've got that phone, it's not going to work with T-Mobile's 5G networks. And you're kind of SOL as far as that's concerned. They're going to do some sort of kind of like a discounted 18-month lease on a Galaxy S25G if you happen to fall into that camp. So there's like a whole program developed to like, okay, well, your phone sucks now. Here, have this one and put you on an 18-month lease. So yeah, 5G just gets a little bit more complicated with this whole transition.
You know what's interesting about this, and we didn't have a chance to talk about this before the show, but when Sprint rolled out its 5G network in Chicago, they invited a bunch of people down to come down and take a look, walk around, check it out, and yada, yada, yada. And Sprint CTO John Saw, I believe his name is, was at the event, and he was answering questions from the press. And I actually asked the question, because they referenced the T-Mobile merger a lot during the event. And so I actually asked the question, will the 5G phone that you buy today work on the T-Mobile network when the merger is complete? And they told me yes. And so Now this was coming from Sprint, and it's very possible that, you know, T-Mobile sucked up Sprint, and so T-Mobile's calling the shots now. So I understand how they might have pivoted from this. But, and you know what? I spent like an hour looking for that audio to see if I could get it to you guys so that you could, because I recorded the interview too. And if I find it, I will send it on. But anyway, I just thought it was interesting that I specifically asked that question, and they told me, yeah, no problem. And it turns out it's kind of a problem.
Yeah. Nothing to see here. Everything's going to be just great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously not. So hopefully you like the S1.
It's no surprise, like you mentioned, in that situation of where T-Mobile is sucking in Sprint. I mean, I'm just, as a T-Mobile customer, I'm glad
I'm on the on that side of the fence. Not, yeah, not to bring true. Back fences, but yeah.
Right.
That is yeah. true. Speaking of T-Mobile, John Leisure has left the building officially for good. We already knew he had announced in 2019 that he planned to resign when the Sprint merger was complete. Did so earlier this month, but he remained on the board of directors and he had his end date as June 4th. Apparently, that was just a little too long because effective immediately, he is done. He's going to pursue other options. So that's it. No more John Leisure with T-Mobile. The magenta era is over. Yes. He's going to take his magenta t-shirts and leave.
Yeah.
I love
man,
a slow
pour one out for John Leisure because, man,
I agree.
Good run. I love that guy. I really do. He's like the only CEO of any major company that I have like legitimately wanted to like hang out with for like an afternoon at some point, just because I want to see what comes out of his mouth when we do it. I think it would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I'm really curious to know where he ends up and if like that persona, like the loud mouth, smart mouth persona that he was really known for with T-Mobile that really kind of helped spark the brand there and get, you know, attract eyeballs and attention. I wonder if that's like his calling card on any future company that he does. Well, you want me, you got to take my mouth with me, you know, that sort of thing. So we'll see what he comes up with, but definitely curious to see.
Oh, right. Well. Oh, well, that's a heavy news week, huh?
Yeah, that's what we got.
all right. We did get an email, and actually this one was sent directly to me or for me. Philippe writes in and says, just to let Ron know, the Samsung S10e is a nice alternative to the smaller iPhone. I suggested that to a friend who was very satisfied with it. It's around the iPhone SE price here in Europe. I hope that helps. And this is in response to our conversation last week about the iPhone SE, and I said I was in the market to buy one for my wife because not because of the chipset or because of iOS or Android or anything, just because she currently has the iPhone 6 SE and likes the smaller phone form factor of the phone. And while I appreciate this, Philippe, I did look into the Samsung, and the Samsung S10e is 5.8 inches and the iPhone SE is 4.7 inches. So you've got an inch size difference. And so even at 5.8 inches, that's too big for what my wife's preferences are. And so sadly, as much as I hate to report it here to all my Android friends, we ordered the iPhone SE yesterday from Apple, and it should be arriving in about a week or so. Because, you know, you got to find the right phone for the right hand for the right person.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yep. That's it right there. I will say, Ron, I'm curious. Once your wife ends up with a phone, I'm sure you're going to see it, you know, in use and everything. I'll be curious to hear what you think about the device in light of, you know, kind of what we're talking about, you know, compared to what, you know, what the Pixel 4a is expected to be and that sort of stuff. You'll see it in use, so you'll have a good indication of how it compares.
I would even offer to give it a test drive or something, but like every time I touch one of those devices, I get a burn. It burns, and so like I just try not to touch them. Yeah, so it just but no, when we get it in, I'll take a look at it and I'll kind of give it that, you know, kind of quick test drive feel. But, you know, she's currently on iPhone. You know, I do have her on a OnePlus 6 now to take pictures of babies with the camera for it. It's basically just a Wi-Fi device to, you know, to take pictures of it. But, you know, ideally, you know, if you're on an operating system, it works. If it works for you, if the size, you know, like all the, you know, we've all got different boxes we need to check. And in this case, this checks our boxes. So it's the right purchase.
Yeah, even Android Police did a review of the iPhone SE.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Ryan posted a review with the title, I wish $400 Android phones were this good.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow. Well, benefit of a doubt will be doing a review as well, just FYI. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You got the SE in hand, or you're working on it? And.
Yep, I've been trolling your audience with it by having it on the shelf next to me right here. But I don't know if anybody noticed, but it literally came in about like 10 minutes before we went to air. So,
okay.
So I haven't had a chance to set it up or anything, but yeah, that'll be coming in a few weeks.
Right on. Yeah.
It's a second wave.
$400.
I mean, you know, the time is right for this price category. If it wasn't before, it definitely is now. And I think that's a conversation that we'll probably have a little bit later in hardware with the Motorola announcement. You know, the more and more these premium priced phones, like, that moment may be in the rear view mirror compared to kind of the moment we're in right now. But we can talk about that in a little bit. Let's take a break. Thank the sponsor, and then we'll get into the hardware block and talk about a few very interesting items there. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by IT Pro TV. Now, we've all been dealing with a lot. That's an understatement these past months or so. IT Pro TV wants you to know that they are here to help both you and your business. Working from home while trying to conduct training and conferences that your business relies on, it can be a huge challenge. We're all realizing how challenging that can be. IT Pro TV has solutions not only to make that happen, but they can do it with incredible video, audio, and expert advice. They have the capability to set you up with 100% remote conferencing so you can get training done for your company while maintaining social distance. You need IT Pro TV because they actually have the tools to make your conferences a success. Let working from home stop you from delivering the best content for your workforce, because with IT Pro TV, you can do all sorts of things that you need in this scenario. Create your own training videos. That's customized training that actually meets your organization's specific needs. You can get everything you need to create customized video training with the IT Pro TV custom content program, so you can leverage the power of video learning along with the convenience of a turnkey service. From planning to post-production, you can choose the services that you want and execute your video strategy easily. Use their hosts, your hosts, or both. You can use subject matter experts to add a professional touch to your video content, and add your own subject matter experts for a powerful combination of on-camera experience and industry knowledge. And you can choose the studio that you want to use. You can actually pick from several distinct HD studios. You can choose the warehouse for an urban feel, the business set for a corporate look, or get techie with the server room. IT Pro TV are the experts in IT training and certification. If you're using this time to learn more about IT and get certified, you'll want to check out all of their awesome programs for you and your teams. Perfect time for it. Don't forget, they have online IT training too, and 30% off the lifetime of your active subscription. So start planning your business and training conference today with IT Pro TV. All you got to do is go to itpro.tv/twit2. They have the equipment, studios, and the knowledge to make your next conference a success. That's itpro.tv/twit, and then the number 2, IT Pro TV. Build or expand your IT career and enjoy the journey. And we thank IT Pro TV for their continued support of All About Android and the Twit Network. All right. We've actually got some hardware in the house. It's time for some hardware.
I mean, in the house is, I mean, it's in my house.
It's accurate. It's in a house, one of our houses.
That's true. It's in a house. So I thought it'd be kind of fun if we would try and do something different on the show today. Usually we have multiple cameras in a studio, but we're not in a studio. I'm at home. So what I'm going to do very quickly, just because we have to do a little technical producing here, is I'm going to flip cameras.
What's going to happen
when the screen goes dark?
What I like is that this is Flo not only, you know, providing really strong editorial content here, but also some tech ops. You know, she's not afraid to get her hands dirty with USB cables and plug things in and out as needed. And potentially adjust settings in Skype, because Skype likes to pretend like it knows exactly what you want as soon as you plug a device in, is something that we like to laugh about.
Yeah. Doing this stuff on the fly is amazing. I mean, just like I've tried doing basic stuff on the fly, doing live with like with ODB, I think it's called. Yeah. And like I've tried to even just play intro music while I'm talking, and it was always a dumpster fire. So just the fact that you're even trying this,
When it comes to cameras and microphones, I'm afraid to even touch the USB connector. Like I've got everything working. Just leave it be.
It's working. Oh my word. Working. Just leave it alone. Yeah. Yep. Totally. Yep. But We got you back, Flo, it sounds like, anyways.
Ah, there we go.
Look at that. Cool. Well lit as well.
Yeah.
That is the sunlight. Thank you, California.
Oh. Wow, look at that shadow. Flo, can you turn down the pink?
I cannot. I can't do that, Ron, because right, everything is physically pink in this room.
For our audio listeners, Flo has switched to a second camera that is on the Oppo X2 Pro box, but it is sitting on a lovely desk that is made up of light pink and dark pink, what look like bears and foxes. next to a hot pink key mechanical keyboard. So
which you got for me.
Buy you that. That was much more expensive than it should have been. that key that I bought for you. Use your mind's eye. Try to picture a light pink field of dark pink bears and foxes and a phone box sitting on top of it. Flo, take it away.
All right. So I brought for you a literal hands-on because all I can do with this camera is go hands-on it. And of course, do mind that I don't have my manicure right now because, again, we're on lockdown. And so this is how we're doing things. So I brought the Oppo Find X2 Pro. Now I'm going to be playing with this phone for a little bit. I'm going to be playing with this phone alongside the new OnePlus. So this is going to be fun because they're basically cousins. They're from the same town. They went skateboarding together in the suburbs and they kind of just grew up like hanging out. And so I'm really curious to see what this phone, which is being sold everywhere but the US, is like, especially because it's kind of purported as a alternative to the Samsung phone. The Samsung flagships. So a couple of basic specs as I open this box. Inside of the phone, there's a Qualcomm Snapdragon 865, 12 gigs of RAM, 256 gigs in the Find X2, but in the Pro version, there's 512 gigs. In-screen fingerprint reader, 5G support, which we were just talking about. No micro SD card reader or a headphone jack, which is kind of a bummer, and no wireless charging, but there is fast charging. And those of you watching on the video screen, I do apologize. It's on a webcam, so it's probably going to be in and out of focus as I move the phone. Thanks for bearing with us. All right, so the big deal about this Oppo is actually its display. But before we talk about that, let's talk about the backside, since I got to start this thing up and... You know, I want to show you this really pretty backside. So let's see if I can get this phone started. This is like first generation, first days YouTube unboxing right here.
Yeah.
Like level. So, hey guys, I'm at home in my room. My parents are cooking dinner. So on the back here, we have cameras. So the Pro has three of them. A 48 megapixel main, a 48 megapixel ultra wide, and a 13 megapixel periscope telephoto cam with 10x hybrid zoom, along with a pure digital zoom up to 60 times. So not as much as the new Samsung ones with 100 times, but you know what? That's fine. I would argue 60 is quite enough in this day and age. By the way, the regular Find X2 has just a 12 megapixel ultra wide, but it still has that 48 megapixel main and that 13 megapixel telephoto on the back. As you can see, it's in this nice, not quite cascading like that LG one, but it's just kind of stacked on top of it. And there's a lot of details on this backside that I just kind of want to point out. First of all, this is vegan leather, and it feels super nice to touch. I mean, this is really nice and soft. I don't know if you guys remember. I think it was the LG G4, if I'm correct, that had those swappable leather backsides. Oh, come on, webcam. Don't make them sick. Mm-hmm. It was going in and out. So I don't know if you guys remember that leather, but that leather, it was premium leather. It was real leather, and it smelled like it. But there was just this smoothness to it that felt kind of like a little too much sheen. And this one just feels really nice and soft, just really comfortable to touch. This is not something you would put a case on. this is totally something you would just wear bare out in the world. It has nice little like accents, like this Oppo logo on the back. It's got like this gold metal side. You can't really see it with this webcam. And I apologize because it really is pretty in person. But I will take some beauty shots for it next week so you can kind of see it more like through the SLR. And it's in Catalonian. I need to change that language. Hmm. Anyway, a couple more details just to show you here. I'm going to try and have the webcam do this for me. The bottom grill is just like really pretty. The SIM slot is kind of like this oval shape. Whoa, versus.
It's out of focus, sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's super out of focus.
You had it for a second. Go a little bit lower. There you go. Wait, no, lower. And just move around. There you go.
It's probably just going to lag.
Listen, everybody. This is a first gen YouTube video. We're trying something new here. Bear with me.
This is great radio, by the way.
use your mind's eye, everyone. Use your mind's eye for being out of focus.
Use your mind's eye.
Yeah.
At the top of the smartphone is this really nice like indent for speakers, and then it has like the punch hole camera on it, which is pretty neat. I think it looks great. And the big thing about this, now I'm losing my train of thought just because I'm on this screen and I don't really want to be on this screen. Let's see. So as I'm kind of just starting it up here real quick, we're going to agree to some user terms of services because I do want to, thank you. Burke's helping me vamp. I do want to get this thing on Wi-Fi and kind of show you real quick what the display is like. This is a completely live setup, by the way. I have done nothing to this phone except charge it enough to get it on the show. So the big deal about this display is that it's a 6.7-inch 3168 by 1440 AMOLED display. So you just decide what you're doing as you're updating. It can pump out 120 hertz no matter the resolution it's at. So this is a little different than what the Samsung phones do, which it only works at 120 hertz at certain resolutions. So this is a super sharp display along with a 240 hertz touch response rate. So lots to kind of look forward to there. I don't think I'm going to be able to set it up for you right now because I do have to copy over a bunch of stuff. I just want to do a little more beauty shots at the back here just before I let you go and just kind of give you a tease of what is going to be a full review of this next week. I am going to take it out. I'm going to take pictures with it, try that zoom. I'm going to compare it to the OnePlus's phones. My OnePlus 8 just came in today. I do want to just quickly tell you the price, even though this is not being sold in the US, this is being sold everywhere else. And I know we have an international audience. So it's about 1,130 USD or around 1,000 euros for the regular Find X2. And then this version, the Find X2 Pro, is 1,350 USD or about 1,200 euros. So just kind of take that into consideration, some of the things that you're missing out on. But you know, if it catches your eye, I mean, this back right here is this back and the gold chrome edges. Like, I mean, this is a phone that you'd want to just put in a shadow box on your shelf.
Is the pleather Mateo certified? Do you know?
No, because it's not Makodile.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's only registered for Makodile certification. So,
okay.
But, right, you know, sadly. I would be surprised to feel some Makodile that feels this smooth. So, Mateo, if you're listening, I dare you to challenge me.
Wow. The gauntlet's been thrown.
Should also point out, you mentioned the display, 120 hertz, mm-hmm. and also 1440p. And 240 hertz touch response. That's all identical to what you get on the OnePlus 8 Pro. Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities here between the two.
Yep. I did go through the specs. Okay. So yeah, that's the Oppo Find X2 Pro. And I'm going to switch back to my camera while you guys go on to the next thing.
Well, we look at the screenshot of the website.
This was so seamless. It was almost as if it was planned. I mean, it was planned, but like this worked very well, Flo. Good job.
I tried something new.
And this is another phone. I mean, no surprise after looking at, you know, at the OnePlus 8 coming out and seeing the different colors and looks and stuff like that and knowing the connection between Oppo and OnePlus. But this is another example of a very nice looking device coming out of these companies and coming out of China.
It's also very big. God, these phones are just getting bigger. This is it next to the V60. Like,
hey, Flo, put it next to your head. Put it next to your head. It's a. I don't know if the phone's enormous or you have a small head.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
For those listening on the audio version, Flo is holding both phones up to her ears and vaguely looks like Princess Leia with cell phones. So use your mind's eye to imagine that.
I just realized I'm completely missing the opportunity to do my hair like sci-fi characters, but I digress.
Hey, you got time.
I know. Like I said, we've got time. I'm at home. So might as well.
You can make it happen. Yeah. Love it. Really, so we'll hear more.
There really should be some sort of device that switches cameras like that, like a switcher. Because that was really nice, Flo. That was good.
Well, I'm told that Leo has something like that. I'm going to look into it because I'm curious. I would love, I mean, I live broadcast with OBS when I do Twitch, but I don't know how to do that with Skype. So,
we can talk offline about that because I don't think that's too difficult if you've got it on your
machine. Well, if anybody who's listening has a suggestion, please do write us in AAA@twit.tv. That's our email.
There you go. Yep. Oppo Find X2. More to come on that. It sounds like next week. Mm-hmm. Also, more to come on this next story. Did y'all hear the Pixel Buds finally released? The true wireless Pixel Buds that didn't Google announce these at the hardware event
Pixel 4 event.
Yeah,
back in October.
Yeah, so we finally saw them. Finally for sale. I picked up a pair. I got my order in. I'm hoping to get it within days. I'm really curious to check these out. But they are for sale, although now they're out of stock, apparently. So stock was low or demand was high. You make the guess. $179. Touch control, of course, has the little spatial vent that I'm curious if your earwax collects inside. Sweat and water resistant, so good for the gym. It has an adaptive sound aspect to it that changes due to environmental shifts in the environment, you know, loudness, softness, that sort of stuff, volume. Hands-free Google Assistant control. I'm really curious to check that out because I feel like the wireless earbuds that I've used, you have to like push the button and then that like shoves the thing into your ear and that's never fun. Or push the button and then wait, and it's like 5 seconds later, you're cued for your command.
I just wanted to know what time it was without looking at my phone.
Exactly. I figured it out already. It's okay. Go away. wireless charging for the pod itself. The pod can be either plugged in via USB-C or charged wirelessly. So that's great. If you have a wireless charging pad, you just set it right on there or reverse charge if you have a phone that supports that. Apparently the pod that holds the earbuds is really satisfying. It's got like one of those like click mechanisms for opening and shutting. It kind of looks like a Bic lighter or what was the... Not a Bic lighter, the one that
Zippo.
I can't. Zippo. There we go. Thank
Zippo
you.
Lighter.
Yep. Kind of looked like a Zippo lighter, like kind of satisfying. 5 hours on a single charge compared to the Samsung Galaxy Buds Plus that get 11 hours. So that's a big difference, and definitely seems like some of the reviews that were coming out, that's cited as one of the major complaints, is that battery life is not as big or as long as a lot of other wireless earbuds. 24 hours with the case, and Find My Device works with it, so you can make the earbuds ring if you lose them. Who's excited? Who wants to get some Pixel Buds?
I mean, The initial reviews are good. I mean, most of the reviews that I read are glowing. So, I mean, yeah. I've got, you know, because I'm a tech reviewer, I've got, you know, 100 different true wireless earbuds sitting around. So is it, yeah. am I really clamoring to run out and grab them? Not particularly, but I really like what I've seen. I think the only thing that's missing that a lot of people were looking for, aside from the battery life, was active noise cancellation. So that's kind of a bummer that it doesn't have that. But at the same time, I mean, these are really good from everything that I've heard. These are really good. So, I mean, and at that price point, it's hard to complain.
Oh, I can complain.
Ron, okay, Ronald, I just don't complain about that price point.
Like we talked about the last time we talked about these, I don't want them to go in my ear. I like the old Pixel Buds that nestled in. Whenever I see the little suction cup design at the end, I'm out. I'm not sticking something in my ear. So
no, and that's legit. I mean, that's a legitimate choice. But you know,
it's a choice. That's a good point.
The thing is, the reason I like those earbuds is because you get better isolation with that type of fit rather than something that just goes on the ear. Yeah. So, I mean, especially when I'm driving with the window open, that isolation is key because otherwise, you have to crank up the noise and then you're damaging your hearing. So, if you can get a good isolation seal, then you can listen to your podcasts or music at a much lower volume, which is going to do less damage to your ears long term. Talk to Juan Bagnell about that sometime. I dare you.
Absolutely. Oh, it's come up. Yeah, no,
I'm very curious. Does your state allow you to drive with headphones in? Because California State does not.
I've never asked. However, I didn't mean to out you. No, it's cool. I've never asked. I've been doing it for years. And my state does require hands-free telephone devices to be on a call in the car. However, I think you're supposed to only do like one bud as opposed to both. I think that's what you're technically legally supposed to do.
I would say in California, it's the same actually. In California, you can have one earbud in, but you can't have both. So if you have one ear, from at least that's my understanding of it, is that you can actually have one bud in as long as the other ear is free to be able to hear the surrounding area.
Sorry, Adam, I didn't mean, I meant to ask you out of curiosity, and then it started to come out of my mouth, and then I realize I'm completely outing you to whatever municipality.
No, the important thing is when you grab an earbud out of your ear, grab the one that's away from the window. So when the officer comes to the window, you can say, "No, the other one's right here, officer. It's no problem." And because that's if you have both in, but I never do that.
Okay, glad we cleared that up.
Yeah,
got to the bottom of that one.
Listen, I drive around with one of the Galaxy Buds in my ear sometimes just because I don't want to switch to the Bluetooth in my car because it's just like you just don't want to. And that's the reason, by the way, just to bring it back to what we were talking about, that's why I am not interested in these Pixel Buds because I'm perfectly fine with the Samsung ones that I have. Yeah. And the little charging case, I mean, it lives inside my purse. I always have earbuds on me. So
Yeah. I am looking forward to the hands-free assistant because there are times with I have the Jabras, and in order to summon assistant, like we were talking about, sometimes you push that button and you're waiting, and it would just be nice to be able to summon it the same way I do at home and just say, "Hey G, blah, blah, blah," and just have that command fire off through the earbuds the way I often think that they're going to do it that way. And then I do it and realize I don't get any response. I'm like, "Oh, that's right. I got to push the button."
I want to know how our habits outside on a trail or maybe our habits on a treadmill, like how that changes knowing the Google Assistant is just available via voice command. Because the reason I don't talk to it now or when gyms were open is because of the whole button holding. And then I would have to wait a couple seconds and it'd just be this like really not a very fluid experience. And so I wonder what it'd be like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm thinking about like the psychology of it because this is where Google's taking these buds. There was a discussion of why it doesn't have active noise canceling. And I think it's because it's not the point of these buds. The point is it's the assistant from the smart speaker in your ear. With you at all times. So.
Yep, that's worked for Google up until now. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That's the point here. So, yeah. Anyways, I should be getting them, I'm hoping, within the next week. I'll let you know what I think. I hope to have them by next week to show off on the show. Cross fingers on that.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Ron, you got the next one.
I do. So, you know, after almost a year of praising Motorola for really embracing the mid-range, Motorola is now coming back to the flagship side of things with the Edge Plus. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the rumors of it or whatnot. But so Motorola Edge Plus is a real thing. It's $999 and going to be on sale on May 14th with 6.7-inch FHD Plus OLED display with a 90 hertz refresh, near 90 degree curve on both sides. So it's hence the Edge term right there. It's running the Snapdragon 865 with 5G support, 12 gig of RAM, 256 gig of storage, a 5,000 milliamp battery. It's got the classic headphone jack for all you purists out there, and the triple rear camera, 108 megapixel main down to quad pixel, 27 megapixel stills, 8 megapixel 3x optical zoom telephoto lens, and a 60 megapixel ultra wide macro TOF sensor, and it's got a 25 megapixel selfie camera. And like most Motorola, it is a Verizon exclusive, which is interesting. And in addition to the Edge Plus, there's also the Edge, which is the same design, just with lesser specs. This one's running a Snapdragon 765 with 4 gig of RAM, 128 gig of storage, 4,500 milliamp battery, and the downgraded triple camera system. And it's got a broader release than just Verizon sometime later this summer. And dare I share the note I got from the Verizon PR rep about these? Just because it's too funny.
Sure.
I'm intrigued.
So I got an email from the PR person who handles the Verizon stuff, and said the Edge is coming, and gave all the specs. And then at the end of it, he says, "I don't have access to HQ and can't get any review devices until we kill this horrible fracking virus and the shelter-in-place ordinance lifts. So you can make requests, but the ghost of Chris Farley only knows when I'll get any phones." So clearly, okay, in this time of COVID, even PR folks are having a hard time getting phones to reviewers. But but needless to say, the Edge Plus seems like a compelling device, and Motorola applying a lot of the pared down, as close to stock Android as possible kind of approach, but on a much higher tier device. What do you guys think? Do you think that this is going to compete with the likes of the cream of the crop of the flagship phone?
I mean,
well,
should it?
Yeah,
compete?
Adam, go.
Should it compete with the cream of the crop? Absolutely. Will it compete? That's a different conversation. So, I mean, Motorola is in a weird place because there was actually an article in the rundown called "Imagine How Much It Must Suck to Be Motorola Right Now," because like all of these events were supposed to show off this device and put it out in such a with its best foot forward have gotten canceled, and not to mention we're kind of living in an economy when people don't necessarily want to buy $1,000 phones anymore; they want to buy $500 or $400 phones. So, I mean. It could compete. And when I was actually the day after Motorola introduced this to the press, I was hanging out with David Amell from Android Authority, and he was telling me this is like a baller phone, man. This is like just as good as the S20 Plus, and you know it should be just amazing when it comes out. And so like I was just like, oh wow, that sounds amazing. And so, but I think the biggest problem that Motorola is going to have is, first of all, the economy. Second of all, Verizon exclusivity. And third of all, I mean, Motorola is trying to get back into the flagship space again after taking a few years off. So it's going to be challenging on multiple fronts, I think.
Well, I think it's funny because I agree with you on most of those except the Verizon exclusive, because I think Motorola has figured out how to live with the Verizon exclusive and lean on Verizon doing the marketing push for all this stuff and the millions of customers that Verizon has cultivated over the past 10 years that just buy the next phone. You know, so if you've got someone who's a Verizon customer who's been, you know, on a Motorola, you know, one of the mid-range and is like looking to trade up, now there's an option for them to trade up to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's Okay. Agree to disagree, but we'll go with it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I'll be curious. Eric Ravenscraft is the author of the article on Android Police titled Imagine How Much It Must Suck to Be Motorola Right Now. And I just, it made me laugh. It made me chuckle a little bit because it's so true, right? Like Motorola sat out of this game for so long, and you know, they probably, as Eric wrote, they've probably been planning this for a couple of years, like, all right, here's our big return to the premium market, let's do it. And then the world turns upside down. It's like, can't catch a break. And we'll see. I'd be really surprised if this was like a big turning point for Motorola right now, because the world is in such a strange state, which leads back to kind of what we were talking about much earlier in the show, which is like, is the moment are we seeing right now, and it's probably too early to tell, but are we seeing the moment in time where the $1,000 and $1,500 phones officially became too much? Like, we've been talking about it and be like, oh my God, I can't believe phones are now that expensive. But now, like, we're seeing a shift in our economy and the world economy that has the potential to be larger than we've seen in decades. Suddenly a $400 phone that's amazing that you know gets support for 5 years, suddenly that sounds pretty darn good for a lot of people. I have to imagine it could be just real bad timing for a company like Motorola to put out a phone like this. It's almost like if they had doubled down on the category that they've been doing for the last however many years, maybe they'd be in a little bit better of a position.
And not only the category that they've been for several years, but the category they've been thriving in for several years.
Exactly.
And I think, you know, and it's funny because, Jason, you said that, you know, now after this economic kind of collapse or whatever they're seeing, that now a $400 phone looks good. I've been saying for years a $400 phone looked good even before then. I still think the $1,000 phone was, you know, kind of the pinnacle of excess.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
There's one other note that should be mentioned here, and I read an article about – it's killing me that I don't remember who wrote it, but it was criticizing the fact that Motorola has promised only one software update for the Motorola Edge, which is less than ideal for a $1,000 device. Maybe it's okay for a $400 or $500 device, but if you're dropping a grand on a device, you're probably going to be holding on to that for 24 months. Now, it should also be mentioned in the same breath that I haven't actually found Motorola spoken evidence that says only one software update. This is basically – I don't know if this is based on speculation from what Motorola has done in the past, or if Motorola has actually said something about, you know, there's only going to be one software update. I'd be kind of surprised if that was the case, but I haven't been able – I've been digging for that for the last couple of days and I haven't found it. But so take that for what you will. I'll continue to dig and see if I can find something and post it on benefitofdoubt.com. But in the meantime, it is something to keep in mind before you drop, you know, your entire stimulus check on one phone.
Heck yeah. So I just did a little searching while you were talking and came up with a J.R. Raphael from the Android Intelligence blog at Computer World. And, you know, his article, the two words Motorola doesn't want you to read, and it's exactly that. One
update.
That
was the one.
So,
So
as JR says, they're promising one update, and this phone is coming out prior to the official release of Android 11. Let's say pretty close to the release of Android 11, but officially this phone's going to be out before Android 11. So essentially they're saying you're getting a year's worth of update, which – okay, hold the flipping phone. That is not okay. Like, that is ridiculous for this price category to promise just that one update. Maybe if we were at the beginning of the cycle, you know what I mean? It was like, okay, so you got this almost full year and then you got the next full year from that update. Maybe then I'd be somewhat okay with it. But the fact that we're so close to Android 11 already and that's purported to be the major update, like, that's ridiculous. That's bad.
Yeah, agreed.
Maybe they'll prove us wrong. But check out JR's article, and I'll just go ahead and say that JR has not been on the show in a long time.
Too long.
He's going to be on next week.
Mm-hmm. He is.
So happy to have him back. Yeah, he's one of my
true homecoming.
Totally. I mean, longtime friend of the show. So it's going to be great to have him back on the show next week, and we can talk to him about this. All right, Flo, you got the emails.
We've got an email. So this one comes from Ron. not the Ron that you know, but another Ron. And Ron wrote in, I had some thoughts on Google's new debit card. Here's how I think it should work. It should be tied to the Google Pay app. You should be able to go to the Pay app, select which card you want to use, and the Google debit card would automatically be programmed for that card. You should be able to change it on the fly. That way you would be able to use Google Pay anywhere. There's still many places that don't accept contactless payments, so this would solve that problem for them. There was a card like this on Indiegogo called Fuse Card. And Ron, I think I might remember – Ron writing in. I think I might remember that card that you're referring to, and I think I remember it being killed after people had backed it on Indiegogo. We also got in another email related to this from Matt. So when I had my old Google Wallet card, I used it all the time. I was easily able to transfer money to and from my bank or PayPal accounts. It was a very convenient card to use, and I was really sad when Google decided to kill it. So that did exist somewhere back in the day in the ether of history. But, I do like that these folks wrote in about this kind of usage for this card, because I do feel like in terms of a killer card to the Apple card, like this would be the way to really leverage technology and be known as like, you know, a tech card kind of thing versus here's a percent back on your purchases in the Play Store.
I mean, do you guys see people getting excited about the Google card the way people about the Apple card?
Nope. I mean, I'll probably sign up for it just out of like, hey, we're Google, we're family, you know, we support each other.
Yeah. Exactly.
But not, you know, to a degree. Yeah. Like, I'll support you to a degree. I will buy a box of cookies for your fundraiser, but it's, you know.
But I'm not shoveling all of my purchases through you.
No.
I'll get it and check it out as well. I don't see it going over as well as the Apple card, but we'll certainly find out. Let's take a break, thank the sponsor, and then we'll get into some app news. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Mint Mobile. I love Mint Mobile. I've been using them for quite a while now. I definitely got my first big, you know, smartphone back in the day through a big wireless provider. One thing that was constant, I was with Verizon for so many years, it was just the high bills. It was just part of owning the smartphone through Verizon was paying a lot for it, essentially high monthly bills. And Mint Mobile does things much different. And as a result, you actually end up paying a heck of a lot less, a fraction of the cost even. Mint Mobile, by switching to Mint Mobile, you can cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. I could save hundreds of dollars, literally saving hundreds of dollars when I compare it to my Verizon bill from back in the day. For anyone out there who's looking to save without sacrificing service, switching to Mint Mobile is a no-brainer. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. You just go online and eliminate the traditional costs of retail by doing so. There's no retail store to support, right? You're doing this all online. Mint Mobile can then pass significant savings on to you. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text, plus crazy fast 4G LTE. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all of your existing contacts. That's what I did. I ported my number over. Switch now to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless for $15 a month. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. It was such an easy transition. My wife's business actually is going away. She's moving her business up to Petaluma. And when she was in San Francisco, she was on Verizon. Now that she's come up here, I'm like, dude, like I'm on Mint Mobile. I use it. You should just have your phone through Mint Mobile as well. And so she's switching over as well. And it's just super easy. Like the whole process is great. We're going to save a bunch of money by doing that as well. So looking forward to that. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month with their 3-month introductory plan and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/Android. That's mintmobile.com/Android. Do that and you can cut your wireless bill to $15 a month. Mintmobile.com/Android. All right. We've got a few things to talk about in the app section. A few things. It's putting it. Yeah. There's not a whole lot to talk about, but let's do it anyways. The app section this week, man. I was just like, God, I got to find stuff for here. What
really
do I find?
Selling where? It there, Jason.
I just realized as I was looking it over, I was like, yeah, this is a really like, this is an really, empty Jason, app section.
Jason, if I can make a suggestion, use your mind's eye and imagine more compelling app information for us to talk about.
Check this out, you guys. You'll never believe what happened. In this crazy time, you can go to Google Play and you can get nearly 30 kids books for free.
Yes, that's wow. Right.
30 no, kids books.
I don't believe it, Jason. I don't believe it. No, you can't get anything free these days.
Go there fast. Don't even think about it. Drop everything. Go to the Google Play Store. You'll get 30-ish kids' books, completely free ebooks, and they're just in your account. And Ron, you know, and Flo, both of you, your kids are young enough. Maybe they aren't going to read these books for, you know, another 8 or 10 years or whatever. Just add them to your list anyways. Then they're there.
But, and you'll be thinking.
Well, it's funny because
with the Sesame Street books, by the way. Yes. I made sure to add them for, you know, when Mona is ready.
Good call. What were you going to say, Adam?
Well, it's funny because, you know, when I was reading this article, it said if you're looking for a cost-effective way to potentially calm your kids down, I'm beyond cost-effective ways. I'm looking for any effective way to calm my kids down. So please, if anybody has any suggestions. But, I mean, we've even gone into the not cost-effective methods of calming our kids down.
It's not easy. So that's why, like, when I saw this, like, I was like, you know what, this is pretty light for the app section, but I'm putting it in there anyways because I'm right there with you, Adam. Like, I'm looking for any and every way to, like, keep my kids educated, entertained, and happy. And I saw this, I was like, you know what, there are a bunch of books in here, some of them that my daughters actually already have, but a bunch of them that they don't. I'm sure these will get read at some point. So there you go. I just saved you a bunch of money. You're welcome.
Blam. I'll let you know if they're effective or not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
Ron, you may have got the most interesting story of the bunch.
Yeah, this is probably the most compelling, and I don't know if it'll be effective for controlling kids, but if there's been any story to come out of this crazy time that we've been in for the past 2 months or so with everything that's going on in the world, one of the big stories to come out of it, both in the tech area as well as in just mainstream regular area, is the emergence and the success of Zoom. For video conferencing, Zoom meetings, you know, which was primarily a B2B platform that didn't have much social use, got really tapped into upon the everyone, you know, staying at home as related to their stay at home orders and things like that in various cities around the country. And, you know, Zooming became a verb. Zoom bombing became a thing you needed to worry about. You know, like it went from me being aware of this because we're aware of these software tools to, like, you know, my in-laws scheduling Zoom meetings and just like, so rampant use of it across the board. And needless to say, much like their messaging platform, unfortunately, Google was left kind of holding the bag with all this as another application ran away with market share, ran away with users and that sort of thing. And so Google now, you know, here we are, is, you know, on the eve of May, and Google is doing what they need to Google Meet to play catch up to Zoom. And the big announcement is that they're bringing they're rolling out a 16-person tiled layout, similar, you know, as people like to joke about the Brady Bunch layout, you know, all the grid of faces, you know, to support up to 16 people at once. Prior to this, Google Meet was limited to 4 people at once. So they're going to enable to have, you know, larger, you know, video conference, meetings, happening over Google Meet. They're also adding support for sharing a Chrome tab instead of just the entire screen, for enhanced screen sharing. And new low light mode is coming to the mobile app. Now it's support on the web later. But the one thing that's missing is virtual back backgrounds, which is, you know, you got to give Zoom credit. The ability to throw a background behind you has got everybody, you know, becoming creative with their, you know, their meetings and things like that and their video conferencing. So Google's still kind of behind it in terms of feature parity. But yeah, it's just, it's playing catch up. And this, you know, may or may not be related, but during a Google meeting with thousands of employees at Google via Google Meet, the son of Google's chief business officer, Philip Schindler, suddenly appeared in view. And he asked if his father was Zooming with employees. Schindler attempted to correct him, but the boy continued by saying how much he and his friends enjoyed using Zoom, which is just got a sting. I have been using Google Meet more and more for actual work meetings with people with up to four people, and it has been great. It's a good product. It just kind of was flat in terms of the functionality, and now Zoom explodes and Google's left scrambling to try to meet it to the consumer demand. So, I mean, good on them for responding so quickly, at least. I don't know. But yeah, that's pretty embarrassing that the kid was extolling the virtues of Zoom to hundreds of the, you know.
I love that leaked to the press and just, you know, was.
And that is why we made this software update, so that the kid.
Look, does this make us any cooler? Is this any better? It is. Yeah, it's used it earlier today. Had 16, well, more than 16, but can only show up to 16. One thing I noticed is when you switch away to a different window and then you come back, it's like all the video players don't stay there. It's like they switch back to avatars and then they load individually again. I don't know. It's kind of weird. It's like they're not always there if you switch away. So I guess don't switch away. Keep all of your attention on the call and you'll be good.
Of course.
Maybe that's the lesson. All right, Flo, you got the next one.
Well, another Google app bites the dust. And unfortunately, it's biting the dust because of, well, everything that's going on right now. So Shoelace, a hyperlocal social networking app from Area 120 Experimental Products Division. That's a mouthful. And probably an app that you've never heard of, is officially going bye-bye. So this was a Google app. It was an NYC exclusive app, which is why, well, actually, I guess only Ron, you would know about Shoelace, although it was invite only. Did you get your invite, Ron?
I never got my invite. I did apply, I think. And if I got my invite, I missed it, but I never got into it.
Rude. So the app officially ends on May 12th, which is coming up on us. That would have been the first day of Google I/O, by the way. And this app was all about community-powered events in NYC. I think it was probably, I would assume it was a feature that they were trying to bring to what they're doing with local groups and Google Maps.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like this was a test bed. So, you know, maybe it's not, it wasn't clear whether this was going to, you know, eventually go beyond NYC, but I imagine that would be like a good test bed for this sort of app, to see if they could bring this functionality to Google Maps. Again, I'm just theorizing based on my own usage of Google Maps and what I know. So,
yeah, back in July, we had it up. We talked about it on episode 429 and reflected on the fact that prior to this, Google had another app that did this called Schemer from 2011.
I don't even remember that one. So,
yeah.
Please don't knock the door and tell us you're sad about this going away and why does Google kill things? Because I can bet you don't even know what we're talking about. You're just,
yeah.
Don't use this to get mad about Google killing things.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty of other reasons to get mad about Google killing things. This doesn't have to be it.
I'm mad because I want my fences and I don't have them yet. So not fences. I mean,
Excuse me,
I don't want the fences.
You don't want the fences, exactly. They're there and you want them removed.
I want them gone. I want to open all of the borders.
Jason, I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but I think the title of this episode has to be Don't Fence Me In. just thought.
Might be. Yeah,
put that in the options. We got an email from Lawrence who says, just wanted to recommend an app. It's called Quick Cursor. This is a new app, by the way. It has right around 100 installs in the Play Store. Lauren says, it has really helped me a lot in dealing with the trend of phones getting bigger screens. I used to use Reachability, but I've had issues with it since I upgraded to Android 10. So Lawrence recommends Quick Cursor. And the idea here is, so first of all, it's completely free without ads. So it's free to use. It is in early access, as you can see. But the idea is that once you have it enabled, you swipe in from the edge, and that place that in doing that gesture, it brings a cursor onto the screen that you then, you know, use your finger that you're swiping with on the bottom part of the screen to kind of move the cursor around the rest of the screen. So it's a cursor approach controlling everything on your screen that's above where your hand is. Maybe it's harder to get up there because the phones are just getting so big. This would be one way to do it.
I was just going to add, I think some phones have this, some sort of app or situation that mimics this ability. I'm thinking of the Samsung and LG phones because they are pretty tall.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, we know Samsung's kind of one UI. Didn't they say it was built on the idea that the phones are tall enough that we want the interactive elements to be more towards the bottom and the top be more informational focused. I don't know if that's still their approach, but I know a couple of years ago when they first brought One UI to their devices, that was kind of why they positioned it that way. But yeah, other phones have definitely had different solutions for this as well. So it's an option. Thank you, Lawrence, for letting us know. You can let us know if you have an app that you like a lot. AAA@twit.tv. All right, Ron, you got the ad.
I do have the ad, and we want to thank LegalZoom for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. Because listen, at this time, we've been referring to it a lot in this episode, health and safety is on the top of everyone's minds right now. No matter what happens, you want to make sure your loved ones are protected. That's why LegalZoom continues to provide a reliable way for everyone to set up the right estate plan without leaving your home. Now I've got a wife, I've got kids, I've got a family. LegalZoom is where I turn to help me get everything in place, all the documents I need to have estates and last will and living trust and all that set up. It's the one-stop spot to get the help that you need to make sure that you're setting up your family to be safe and healthy. It starts with finding the answers to your questions. You know, do you need a last will and testament or a living trust? What about an advanced healthcare directive? And what's a power of attorney, really? I mean, you've heard it. You hear it on TV. What does it actually mean? Thankfully, you don't have to figure everything out on your own. LegalZoom's online resources makes it easy to get started. And if you need to speak to an attorney, their independent attorney network is there to guide you and advise you. And LegalZoom isn't a law firm, so you won't have to worry about expensive billable hours adding up. So take an important step for you and your family today. Go to LegalZoom.com and get started on a last will, living trust, and more. Or find out how you can speak to an attorney for advice on the right estate plan. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. Thanks, LegalZoom.
Thank you, LegalZoom. LegalZoom.com. All right. And with that, it's time for the arena.
For those of you not watching the video, you just missed something amazing.
Arena. Who knows? It might end up on the cutting room floor. It's okay. Let's see here. Last week you voted. Well, some of you did. And sorry, I think I've officially at this point of this whole like shelter in place where I'm like over it. Like I just the last couple of days I've been in an over it mood.
So and you guys know when Jason's over it, he's over it. Like
yep.
Yeah.
It's just felt too much like I'm in Groundhog's Day. This has just been life. We all know what that feels like right now. Last week's poll, let's check in on it. And it appears that, let's see here, a computer launcher. Nice. That is a flowing win, 30%.
That's a novelty win.
Votes. Yeah, that's good. Yep. That's good. I mean, that's a good catch. You found the one that you knew would resonate. Good job. Computer launcher wins, 30%. Second place, PlexAmp. I had a feeling that was going to do
so
well.
Good.
26% great app. Third place, close, right behind you, Ron, my app,
so
Volume
close.
Styles, at 25%. And fourth place, Team Guest, House Party, which maybe people have just used it so much they're like, oh, yeah, I don't know.
It's,
but
Listen, I'll tell you the problem with house. The problem with house parties is no Zoom. Anyway, so with those results through 16 weeks of the arena, we have a tie for first place, everybody. Flo has roared back to the top and tied with Jason for first place with 41 points.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Meanwhile, no. I'm in second place, third place or whatever, with 34 points, and the guests are in last with 29 points. So we were neck and neck for a while, all three of us, but now there's a gap starting to emerge. Will this be the year of Jason? Will it be the year of Flo? Could I surge back? Will the guests surge back? Who knows? Either way, possible. Jason, you're gonna kick things off.
Anything is possible. That's where we're at right now. That is 2020. Anything and everything is possible. All right. So my app, let's see here. How do I set this up? Well, first of all, the app is called Stop Motion Studio. And it's really an app that is exactly what it sounds like. This is for creating stop motion animation. And the reason I'm bringing it is because, you know, week after week, I'm trying to find ways to find creative ways to keep my kids entertained, keep them educated. Like I said, give them new challenges so that they aren't doing the same damn thing every single day. And it occurred to me this morning, I remembered when I was a kid and, you know, I had a big Beta camcorder that had the ability to do frame by frame stop motion animation. I used to spend so much time doing these stupid little stop motion animation things when I was bored. And so I was like, oh, well, I'm going to find an app that does this and see if my 10-year-old daughter is interested in it. And I came across Stop Motion Studio. There is a free version, paid version $4.99. But if you have Play Pass, it's included. So that's awesome. And, you know, I installed it, took a look at it. I was like, is this one of those apps that like, it's great, but you got to know how to use it. And, you know, it might be hard for kids to figure out. I taught it to her. I'm telling you, in like 3 minutes, and she started creating this animation with little Lego characters, and she was buzzing around and, you know, recording audio. So you can set it up on the timeline to where a certain frame hits and, you know, she hits the record button and says what the person says there. Oh, well, there's some audio playing, but that's okay. And, you know, and you keep animating around what the audio is that you recorded. And she just like she got the hang of it immediately. And so, you know, it's like two Lego characters and then a dog comes into frame and then a cat comes into frame. It's just really cute. And it's just a great, great little app to kind of like bring some different options into this moment where we're all just kind of stuck doing the same thing day after day. So it has a lot of features. The interface is straightforward. You can drag forward and backward on the timeline to kind of like get like a preview of what the animation looks like at that moment. There's a zoom that's built in, a zoom functionality that's built in, but it's designed to be bigger. The controls are bigger. That way you can do like frame by frame zooming. So it's a little bit more graceful than like a tiny little slider for zoom. So that's cool. Has this transparency option that shows you the last frame and you can dial in how transparent that is so that, you know, depending on what you're doing stop motion animation, you can kind of line it up perfectly based on what the last frame was. You can speed up and slow down with merging frames. It has green screen support and blue screen support. You can do rotoscoping on it. So you could do your animation and then rotoscope it and have it seem like it's hand drawn, which is really cool. Music and sound effects support, title, credit, text card support, video filters. It has a facial animation feature. So like, which would come in really handy if you had like a Lego set, like you've seen all the Lego animations of like the Lego movies and stuff. If you had a Lego character with no face on it, you could go into this tool and you could animate the face so that they're talking when you're saying words and everything. It's like the tool sets built into it. You can also use a second camera or a pair of headphones as a remote shutter. So depending on the size and scale of your stop motion animation, you can have a camera set up and then you're out on the set doing the changes and everything. Instead of having to go back over to the camera to hit the frame, you could just have the control either in your headphone or in a second camera that you have in your pocket. So it's called Stop Motion Studio. And like I said, it's free if you've got the Play Pass. Otherwise, it's $5 for all the features. And like she loves it. Like she was in here while I was working today, you know, on the floor with her tablet, creating little animation stuff. She probably spent 2 hours doing it. So win for dad. And I don't know, maybe you'll even have fun with it. It's not just for kids. It's a lot of fun to make stop motion animation, and it's really not that difficult to do. So it's called Stop Motion Studio, free or $4.99 if you want to get some extra features. Nice. All right. That is that. Ron, you're up next.
Yes. So it's been a while since I've found a fun AR app. But here it is, and I've got a fun AR app that is actually super functional, and it is called, a little hyperbole in its Google Play Store title, but it's called Wi-Fi AR - Most Useful Tool Ever. So there you go. It's free in the Google Play Store. And Burke, actually, if you hit the link in the vid URL thing, I'm sharing my screen with you, and you can see you should be able to see my phone, and I can show you exactly what this does. But long story short, what this app does is it uses AR to visibly show you the signal strength of the Wi-Fi SSID that you're connected to, or even the phone network that you've connected to see where the dead spots in your apartment are, or where there's not good service, or that sort of thing. And it's truly fascinating. So you're also going to get a glimpse of my apartment here as we do this. So I'm going to open up the Wi-Fi AR, and here you see very simple, you get two choices. Are you going to measure Wi-Fi or 3G LTE? I'm going to start with Wi-Fi so everybody can see what it is. And so now here is my apartment, right? There's the front door. There's the kids' magnets. And what you see here is up in the upper left-hand corner, you see my SSID. So anybody who's near me can try to get into my Wi-Fi. But in the upper right-hand corner, you see kind of a map. A little, if you're familiar with video games, this is kind of like this shows the progress. And as I walk around the room or move it, the little arrow will move as well too. And it will map and show me the value of the or the strength of the signal. Now down here, as I lean down, you can see it's locked in and made a measurement for that point in the apartment to be basically that is what the signal looks like. You can scroll through other options here. You can identify the best access point. You can show whether anything's interfering. You can check out the AP number. You can measure the ping. So if you're a super network kind of nerd and you want to find the optimal spot, if you're in a house and you're trying to map your Wi-Fi and make sure you've got the best, you know, kind of service that you can in your house, this is great to do it. You get an ad, unfortunately. You can also measure your phone connection. And so what it does now is now we've switched over from, instead of Wi-Fi, I'm on LTE. And as you can see here, the upper left-hand corner went from green bars to yellow bars. And am I frozen here now, Burke, I think? Oh, wait, there it is. Broadcast screen. Start now. There we go. Starting screen share. Oh, it's because I dropped off Wi-Fi. Stupido.
That would do it.
Wow. Anyway, so needless to say, you can use the same AR interface to measure the signal strength of your LTE or 3G connection, and you could truly map out the spots in your house or your apartment that truly do have bad service. So when you need that to be on that important phone call, you know what corner of the house to get into. So Wi-Fi AR, totally free in the Google Play Store. You can donate $1 or $5 or $10 through the app, through an in-app purchase, and that will turn off the ads. And it's, you know, here in the videos you can see from the Google Play Store, it's super fascinating to see, you know, to walk around the world that you live in and see where if you're looking for Wi-Fi access points, where the strength of them are. I can't tell you the number of times I've been in an airport and it seems like the gate I'm sitting at, the Wi-Fi sucks. And if I just get up and walk across, you know, down the terminal, I'll get to a better access point. Now you can use this app to actually find the optimal spot for Wi-Fi access. It's a great tool for outside, but also for measuring your own house for your cell phone service as well as your Wi-Fi. So Wi-Fi AR, merging AR and network measurement into one. The union we didn't know we needed. It's really the most useful tool ever. So there you go.
It will do everything for you.
It will do. Everything. It will take out your fences. So,
yeah, that's true. Google should acquire Wi-Fi. Takes out as well. Right on. Wi-Fi AR, the most useful tool ever. Okay. So Adam, you talk about it. I went ahead and screen leaped my phone running your app. So I'll attempt to show it off while you talk about it.
I mean, my Lord, after stop motion studio and Wi-Fi AR, I kind of wish I had brought a better A game today. But yeah, all right. So I'm showing off a grocery store list app. Wow. This yeah, I'm old. Anyway, so no, this is an app called AnyList, and my wife and I have experimented with a number of different apps to try to coordinate, like, what the heck do we need from the grocery store? And it took a pandemic and just me going to the grocery store to finally figure out that we needed this. So we actually got this recommendation from a friend, and I downloaded it, and I've been using it for a couple trips to the grocery store, and it's really cool. I mean, it's not really cool, but I mean, it's immensely practical, which for old people is really cool. But I mean, the really nice thing is, as my wife and I think of anything that we need, we just enter it onto the list. And then as I'm walking down the grocery store aisles, I can just tap on an item and it crosses it off the list. And then if you want to, like, fully delete it, you can swipe that off as well. You know, there are different filters where you can show, like, what's been crossed off, or, you know, you can remove it if it's being crossed off, that type of stuff. And one of the neat things for me, now this is a free app, but there is a premium version and it's a subscription model. But one of the cool things that I liked was, my wife was telling me, go get, I don't remember what it was, these dog treats or something from the grocery store. And, like, I have a real problem with, like, you know, names and things like that. So I wanted to take a picture of the bag, and I've done that, you know, hundreds of times, but then I end up with photos that I don't need. AnyList actually lets you take a picture of an item, and, like, when you write down dog treats, you can take a picture of the bag so you know exactly what dog treats to get. Now, that's a premium model. That's part of the premium model. But honestly, the premium model is, like, I think it's, like, literally $15 a year. And I'm like, $15 a year? Fine, let's do it. You know, I'm not too worried about that. You know, we went ahead and got the premium version of it. My wife and I can both share. Actually, we shared it out to my kids. So if they decide that they want to add stuff to the list, they can do that too. Of course, I'm the one actually buying it. So, you know, whether or not it actually arrives back at the house is a completely different conversation. But it's like I said, it's immensely practical. It's not cool, air quotes, by any stretch of the imagination, but it's you know, it gets the job done for what we needed to do. And incidentally, a funny story, I waffled between this and another game app that I've been playing, and during this podcast, that game app actually sent me a notification like, hey, don't forget to play me. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not going to recommend you. So
how did it know
right? It was quite prophetic. But anyway, so yeah, that's my app. It's not sexy. And the reason I was okay with recommending this app was because I saw what the standings were, and guests are so far behind, and we were never going to catch up anyway. So I'm good with this. So
you just never know. You
never know.
There are a lot of people grocery shopping right now.
If at the end of the year guests lose by one, I apologize.
Yeah, it could all come back to this.
It could. We'll see. You can't win a championship in April, but you can lose one, as the saying goes.
AnyList, grocery shopping list and recipe organizer. Excellent, excellent stuff. All right. Let's see here. Flo, you're on a roll once again. Last year was the year of Flo. Could be this year too. We just don't know.
We'll see if I can maintain. So my app is called SuperPads Become a DJ! Exclamation point. It is one of the PlayPass offerings. So again, I am trying to make use of this $1.99 subscription I currently have, which will be turning into a $4.99 subscription that will happen November. So this app is, you know, I was thinking, we're stuck at home. There's nothing to do. I might as well start a new hobby. I decided that I'm going to become a DJ since I'm at home. And there's just...
Oh, dear.
There's nothing else to do. So I have two apps that I'm going to be bringing to the arena. This first one is more for the mainstream EDM pop music DJ listeners. Okay. So, you know, it's warm outside. You want to put on your crop tops and just throw a little party at home. Do it with this app. So, you know, this is kind of basically like Guitar Hero, but for DJing, which is kind of why I was into it. So, Super Pads. Basically, this will cue up the song for you, and you can follow along with the on-screen instructions on how to play that song. Let's see if this works over streaming. So, I am going to pick out a song. Okay, so we're going to go to the menu, and because we are on, oh, look at that, TikTok songs. Clearly, very specific demographic here, but I digress. So because I have the Play Pass, I've unlocked all of the offerings. I am going to choose one of my favorite artists, Korean boy band pop group BTS. And we are going to choose a song from them. I think I'm going to choose their song called DNA. I have not learned how to play this yet, so this is completely a very live. My hands are going everywhere. It's very live right now. So first, what we're going to do is we're going to learn how to play this. So we're going to tap Learn to Play.
And I'm assuming that the audio won't pass over the screen share. That's my guess.
Oh, that's a bummer. So basically what's happening is the song is playing. And I've got to like follow it with my hand, with my fingers. And in some instances, so this would work, I guess, how like a DJ panel would work. I'll have better terminology next week, I promise. So it kind of works like this, except you're tapping as you would in a game like Guitar Hero or Rock Band. So you're tapping to the beat. You're basically playing the song live, but the computer is telling you what buttons to push to make the song happen. And the idea is you're supposed to learn the pattern. Now, this is like super hard. There's some easier ones on here that you can do. But as you're learning it, you're supposed to basically memorize it so that you can go back and DJ this yourself. Or if you wanted to, you could remix the song. And what's happening on this screen is this little turning arrow that you see that's playing a beat. And I can go from screen to screen and kind of, I can go between A and B melodies and play what I want. Play the song as I see fit. You can quit out of the song when you're over it and then just go back to the menu and choose something else. There is no rhyme or reason to this game other than you are. So these are songs that I've downloaded. There's no rhyme and reason to this game except that it's a way to pass the time and have some music play on your phone as you are passing the time. And I have found this to be a good time waster, especially when we've been sitting with nothing to do on the weekend. We can't go out. So why doesn't Flo just try DJing? There's nothing else to do. You know, turn on the Philips Hue bulbs into rave mode and get those lights going and some pop music. And, you know, it's just like being out at the club, like young me, because I'm just so young, always going to the club on the weekends. This has devolved into absolute sarcasm.
Wow. This went there.
I bet you're going to be spinning some sick cuts. That's what they say, right?
Listen, I've had a lot of time to think at home, and I've just been looking through my Google Photos, and I have photos all the way back to high school. So we're talking a good 16, 17 years of photos that I've been looking through, and you know, you want to relive your youth. There's an app for that.
Yeah. You can become a DJ. Well, finally. Become
pads.
A DJ.
Become a DJ. Put that Super Google pads. Play Pass to use.
Super Pads. Check it out in the Play Store. It is part of the Play Pass offering as well. So there you go. All right, twit.to/AAApoll470 is where you can go to place your vote for your favorite app this week. twit.to/AAApoll470. Place your vote. Is it Stop Motion Studio, Wi-Fi AR, AnyList, or Super Pads?
It is not AnyList.
I'm wondering if Burke has an opinion. Oh. Wi-Fi AR gets Burke's vote. Excellent.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
That's good for you, Ron. Yeah. That is it for this week. Adam Dowd, thank you so much for hopping on with us tonight hanging out for a couple hours. We appreciate you taking the time. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on and not minding the fact that my wife is sitting at her desk right next to me.
Well, we had no idea. Hello. I don't know if she can hear us, but
she can.
Audience. It's like our Twit audience.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Studio audience. Love it.
We have a studio audience.
Adam, what do you want people to know about everything that you're working on? I imagine specifically Benefit of the Doubt, but really you can talk about anything. What's going on?
Benefit of the Doubt is my main passion project at the moment, and it's fun. It's the kind of podcast that I've wanted to do for a long time. It's, if you're familiar with my past work, it's a little bit of that, but it's a whole lot of stuff that I just want to do now, and I'm able to explore topics that I wasn't able to explore before, just because, you know, I'm no longer in a cubby, so I can, if I want to talk about Android, I can talk about Android, and trust me, I will talk about Android a lot. But if I want to poke at iOS, I can poke at iOS. If I want to talk about drones, I can do that. I can do anything that I want. And I'm a nerd at heart. I'm a technology nerd at heart. I love tech and I live for tech. And I just want to share that with my audience. And I hope that you will come along for the ride at benefitofadoubt.com or find it in your podcast player, Benefit of the Doubt, D-O-U-D, spelled in capital letters on my lower third as we speak.
Right on. Adam, thank you so much. And thank you for having us on once again on the show. That'll be out in a couple of weeks. But everybody should definitely check out the podcast before then and be subscribed. Yes. So that when it comes around in a couple of weeks, you'll get an extra dose of Flo and I in your ears. Thank you again. Flo, what's new in your world? What's going on?
My lights are on. It's that time.
So. That is
Yay.
New.
In case anyone's wondering why the room is even pinker than it was before. The lights are on. Speaking of pink, if you go to my website, florenceion.com, the color that I chose over the website looks red, but it's actually a variant of pink. If you go on the color spectrum there, it's called Flowfeed is my website, and that's where you can see reviews I write just for you. You can see what I've been working on. My Ask Flo column, new one went up today. Help you figure out how to basically stream content to the Google Home without an app that is specific for casting. And on top of that, I've got a podcast as well called Honestly Tech that I am. I've got a long lost episode that is in the works right now. It's at honestlytechpod.com. And my other podcast, my annual reminder, I have another podcast on Relay FM with Andy Anatko called Material, where we talk about Google and get really in with it. So do be sure to check that out, please. And thank you.
Do indeed. Lots of good stuff coming from Flo. And what about you, Ron?
Yeah, so none of my websites or social media have pink or pink hues to them. So just to set expectations right up front, you can follow me on or do I take, dramatic photos of myself taking a selfie of myself. But
I did not take that photo. The New York Times photographer did. Thank you very much.
All right. Fair enough. but you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RonXO. And if you want to listen to more of me chatting and all that sort of stuff, I hopped on my old podcast, iFanboy, recently. I talked about this last week, but I'm returning as we are watching every episode of the G.I. Joe animated series from episode one. So if you go to iFanboy.com and listen to the most latest episode, 46 minutes in, we talk about Duel in the Devil's Cauldron, the Mass Device Part 4, which is the episode number 4 of G.I. Joe. Not their best episode. Four episodes in is the first episode I actually didn't like as much. But sure enough, there we are. So, yeah, so go check that out.
I love that you're doing that. That's awesome.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm hitting subscribe right now.
Good stuff, Ron. Thank you to Burke in the studio for holding down the fort there and pushing the buttons and everything. Really appreciate your work, Burke. Also, thank you to Victor, who has been, you know, furiously taking notes, who will be editing this show and has been in our doc chat. And it's good to see Victor in there, even though he can't be in the studio to TD the show. And thanks to everyone for watching and listening and in the chat room. Saw a lot of people talking in the chat room tonight, and we wouldn't be doing this show if it wasn't for you guys participating and being involved with the show. So thank you for that. Twit.tv/HOA is my other Android show, Hands on Android. And if you go there right now, you'll find the most recent episode is about how to remove uninstallable apps, aka bloatware, from your phones. If you ever find that app, like that Facebook app that's there, and you're like, I just want it off, and it doesn't let you uninstall it, I give you a few options on how to do that for the most part. It's kind of an asterisk on that because, you know, I wanted to make sure that I didn't get anyone into too much trouble through the process. So hopefully that works for you. Upcoming episode for this Thursday is taking a look at the developer options menu and some features in developer options that are good for non-developers, for everyday users that you might want to know about. So that's coming up, twit.tv/HOA. This Thursday. But as for this show, we publish this episode, these episodes of All About Android, every Tuesday evening. So subscribe and you won't miss it. twit.tv/AAA. Sorry, I'm getting twisted. twit.tv/AAA, because it's called All About Android. So go there, subscribe, go to YouTube, however you want to do it, subscribe. You'll get the show downloaded to you each and every week. You won't even have to think about it. And we appreciate it when you do that. Thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
So long.